Hey, it's Danielle. Would you like a $50 Amazon gift card? Here is how you enter a chance to win. Right now, Failing Motherhood is turning 4 years old, and it's almost Mother's Day, so we're doing an annual drive for ratings and reviews, which are huge for search rankings, for potential listeners to find us, and for them to size up the quality of the podcast. So if you have been enjoying Failing Motherhood, whether this is your first few times listening or you've been here the whole time, I'm offering extra incentive to put in a quick 2 to 3 sentence review inside Apple. When you leave yours, screenshot it and then send it to me over Instagram DM or email. And I am going to give one listener that leaves a review a $50 Amazon gift card on Mother's Day. We have some really exciting Failing Fatherhood episodes coming up. So please follow the podcast if you haven't yet and leave that rating or review so that more moms and more parents know they are not alone if they feel like they're failing their child on a daily basis. We need each other, and I'm so grateful you are here.
So it's, you know, the biggest challenge ever, but at the same time, like, she's making me work at some like serious personal growth right alongside of figuring out how to teach her, show her, coach her.
Ever feel like you suck at this job? Motherhood, I mean. Have too much anxiety, not enough patience. Too much yelling, not enough play. There's no manual, no village, no guarantees. The stakes are high. We want so badly to get it right. But this is survival mode. We're just trying to make it to bedtime. So if you're full of mom guilt, your temper scares you, you feel like you're screwing everything up, and you're afraid to admit any of those things out loud, this podcast is for you. This is Failing Motherhood. I'm Danielle Bettman. And each week, we'll chat with a mom ready to be real, sharing her insecurities, her fears, her failures, and her wins. We do not have it all figured out. That's not the goal. The goal is to remind you, you are the mom your kids need. They need what you have, you are good enough, and you're not alone. I hope you pop in earbuds, somehow sneak away, and get ready to hear some hope from the trenches. You belong here, friend. We're so glad you're here. Hey, it's Danielle. I can't wait to dive into today's episode. But before you do, I want to make sure that you are well aware that there are Thursday episodes now. They are just short topical talks diving into one reason contributing to our feeling of failure and how to face it. So Tuesdays will continue to be interviews. Thursdays will be those short topical episodes. And they're so fun. Last week's hashtag reasons why we're failing motherhood is believing that parenting, or motherhood for that matter, comes naturally. And I break down 5 reasons why that isn't true and 3 steps of what to do about it. It's only 12 minutes, perfect for a quick commute, so go check it out. My guest today is Sarah Saldi. Sarah was hesitant to jump on because she's still knee-deep in trying to figure out all of this motherhood stuff, but she's doing the thing. And I think her perspective is incredibly insightful, so I can't wait for you to hear her thoughts and her story. Let's get to it. Hey, friends. Has surviving this pandemic made you feel like an imposter while you drink your lukewarm coffee out of that world's best mom mug? Your parenting skills have been pushed to the max in this pandemic, and you're worried that you're getting it wrong. Survival mode is pushing you to threaten and bribe and yell and then beat yourself up for it. I get it. It was just a few years ago and my marriage was on the brink of collapse while I worked to survive the never-ending power struggles with my strong-willed toddler. What was supposed to be my dream was becoming a nightmare of tantrums, stress, and yelling about shoes. I didn't like who I was becoming, and I knew how influential these early years were. Yet every night at bedtime, I felt guilty and hopeless. I even had a degree in early childhood education and a teaching certification, so talk about feeling like an imposter. If this is you right now, here's what is on my heart to tell you. Your desire for connected relationships is exactly the reason why you are a good mom. Your dream of enjoying your child is not dashed even in a pandemic. There is hope for your marriage, for your toddler, for your sanity. As a positive parenting coach, I'm committed to helping you overcome the overwhelm so that you can establish a foundation for a happy home life, feel like a team, and be able to get out the door without an epic meltdown, theirs or yours. And there's nothing that lights me up more than celebrating my client wins, going from fearing divorce to feeling like a team, breakthroughs in approaches and light bulb moments regarding their expectations, eliminating aggression and straight up defiance, and feeling like they're proud of their parenting. This is all available for you too, and so much more. I'm so excited. I'm opening up the doors for my private one-on-one sanity and solutions system this month for families who are ready to stop winging it and feel empowered and prepared. My availability is quite limited, so I only have space to take on 5 new families. Honestly, you and your kids deserve this. You deserve to feel in control of your world when the rest of the world is falling apart. You deserve to feel like the go-to mom others come to for advice. You deserve to take charge of your mental health while you're wiring your child's. You deserve to invest in preventative measures so your family's story doesn't include a custody battle. Are you ready to change the trajectory of your family's future? If you know investing in your parenting will ensure your child's long-term success, I would love to chat with you. You're invited to apply for a complimentary Sanity and Solutions call. Go to parentingwholeheartedly.com/coaching for more details, but then click the link in the show notes to find the application. My time is limited and my spots are limited, and I'm really looking for the families that are ready to admit what they're doing isn't working. They're not afraid of personal and self-development, and they know their influence, and they are ready to take charge of the things that they can control. If that's you, click the link in the show notes and let's do this. I can't wait to work with you. Welcome to Failing Motherhood. My name is Danielle Bettman, and on today's episode, I'm joined by my friend, Sarah Saldi. Sarah is a mom of 2 children and 1 dog, and a palliative medicine nurse practitioner. I'm so excited for Sarah to join us today because she doesn't feel like she has anything to share, which I'm sure many of you would say the same thing if I asked you, but we're about to prove that wrong because you all have a story worth sharing and a message that will help another mom not feel so alone. Welcome, Sarah. So excited to have you on today.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So have you ever felt like you were failing motherhood?
Every day.
Extra relevant for you today, right? Because it was a whole morning?
Yes, it was a morning. I texted you this morning and said, I'm not so sure about this. I really botched it up this morning.
So you're not an expert on motherhood. We'll just give that disclaimer up front. You're not feeling like you're a good wife right now. You're not feeling like you have a whole lot to contribute to the world. Is that right?
That's true, especially on this front.
But I know I've known you for about a year now, right? So I feel like I can speak to knowing that you are an amazing mom, even when it feels like you're not. And I know that a lot of moms resonate with that. And that's why I encouraged you to join me today, because I just feel like that honesty and vulnerability is what this podcast is all about. It's why we're here to talk about it. And it's okay to feel like you're working really hard on things and feel like you're failing at them, usually in the same moment. And to know that that's part of it is sucky, really sucky part of motherhood. But it helps to know that there's hope and that you're not alone. And that's actually a relatively good sign because you're caring so much about it. So let's go back into your story and just help everybody get to know you. How old are your kids?
I have Nola, who is a 3.5-year-old, and Asher, who is 1.5, almost.
Okay, that's crazy already. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Busy times.
Yes. So who were you before becoming a mom?
Oh, before becoming a mom, I was super organized. I got a lot of sleep. I loved sleep. I still love sleep. I just don't get much of it. I was super career focused. When I was a little girl, I didn't dream of having, you know, the house with the family and the wedding and all that. I dreamed about being a businesswoman, living in a penthouse condo, and maybe adopting a teenager. And I think that's the craziest thing, that that was my dream. And then went to college, met my husband, fell in love. We were married for a long time before we had decided to have children. And now I'm in the opposite of my childhood dream. I have two kids and I'm living in a house and trying to do all the things.
Yeah. Which is hard when that's what you've wanted the whole time, let alone having that be such uncharted territory for you.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I think a lot of what I have worked on and am continuing to work on is, you kind of said it in some of the opening statements, was I'm working on myself at the same time as I'm working on trying to be a mom and trying to work at being better at my job, and just feel like working all the time at all the things. But I think through that, maybe the message to my daughter is that life is always a work in progress. And I think it's taken me like into my mid-30s to realize like there's really not a destination.
Yeah,
that it's just like a process. And I'm still kind of coming to terms with that, because I really want there to be a destination that I get to and I'm just good. But I just don't know that that's realistic.
Yeah, which is kind of depressing to accept.
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. Like, I mean, it's more about accepting like the enjoyment of the journey and the process. Mm-hmm. And I like probably have to have that conversation with myself on the regularly, like multiple times a day, because it truly is that, you know, that it's just about the journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is.
And the process.
Yeah. Because that's where all the growth happens, all the learning happens, all of the like beautiful aspects of kids growing up and us becoming better. All those gems come from all that mining of hard work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it kind of sucks a little bit. Because it's so damn hard.
Not easy.
So what did you think motherhood was going to look like? Did you have any preconceived notions? Did you plan for things?
Oh, yeah. I laugh because I talk about how I did all this research when I was pregnant with Nola about the birthing process and what to expect. And I'm like a lot of control over things. So I, you know, my control mechanism at that point was research. And so I had, you know, this whole, I didn't necessarily have like a birthing plan, but I had, you know, I had my doula, and I had done a lot of research about how I wanted things to be and that kind of thing. And then I had Nola, and then I realized I've done no research on how to raise this tiny human. So I think back to like what I thought it was going to be like, and I don't know, at times it seems like I'm not far from that, like what I thought it's going to be. It's just sort of the work of it is so much more intense than I thought. Like, I'm thinking about it so much because I want to make sure that I set her up for success and raise her in a way that's going to give her the tools that she needs to manage the ups and downs and the hard work and the challenges.
Mm-hmm. Which is no light matter.
No.
Did you have a perfect childhood that you're just trying to replicate?
I think about my childhood. It was somewhat idyllic, but I felt like there were always pieces where I was working so hard to measure up to everyone else's expectations, and a lot of never achievable expectations, even though I was doing all the right things. Mm. So I think with Nola and now Asher, I just really wanted to work at making sure they feel supported and that it's okay to mess up and not get things right, and that we're really genuine in our home. And that's not always pretty and it's not always perfect, but it's real. And that genuine connection that comes from being real is pretty central to what I want to make sure to instill for them.
Yeah. Is that something that you had to really come to terms with yourself, like in the grown-up years? Like, did you have a path through like therapy, or kind of how did you come to terms with that?
Yeah. So I have struggled with depression from like my mid-20s. College was hard because it was really like coming into my own without like the safety net of everyone. And the expectations got so much bigger and so much harder to achieve. And that like goal of perfection became like so much more unattainable. So worked through a lot of therapy through college. And then after I had Nola, had some like later postpartum. So I kind of thought initially I would have those feelings, but my time at home with her, so I was working full time as a nurse practitioner when I had Nola. And initially my time at home was great. I really enjoyed it. I mean, we struggled with feeding and there were the ups and downs, but nothing that wasn't, you know, manageable. But it was upon working and heading back to work where it just, the demands of everything, from the demands at work, and there was a lot of dynamics about, you know, I think working moms have it kind of hard when you come back from leave. There's a lot of catching up to do, and there's a lot that you've missed out on, and trying to navigate all that amidst like just trying to get your feet back underneath you as like a whole, you have a whole nother dynamic to your personhood, like who you are and your responsibilities. And so I was back at work for a while and started to have a really hard time and knew that I needed to take a break and take a step back. Had a really rough month around the holidays, and my husband and I, after a real rough patch, decided that I needed to take a leave. So I took a leave from work, set aside some time to really connect back up with him and Nola and realign what was important, and then decided that just needed to shift and try some things different in some different ways and give myself a little grace. Worked hard at therapy for a long time, and I'm so thankful for that avenue in my life, is having someone that I can talk with about anything, everything, and just have a objective perspective to kind of bring me back to like reality and sort of presence of this is what's really going on in your head. This is what you're worried about. These are all the things that are swirling and spinning and surmounting. But this is where you're at right now. And in the scheme of things, next step is this, next step is this. So,
yeah, very necessary on the journey that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So when did you realize that Nola has a unique personality?
I think it was from when she was an itty bitty baby.
Yeah.
my husband and I talk about it with like our family. She was very sensitive to people's like vibe and people's energy from birth. Like if you were cool, calm, collected, and you had that sort of just relaxed vibe, she was relaxed with you. If you were anxious or high strung or the kind of person that was just busy in their mind, she would be fussy. And, and then it just kind of grew from there. She is just, it sounds strange to probably to some, but she really can feed off people's energy and it's genuine energy. Like, you can try to pretend that you're one way and she sees right through it.
Yeah, so you can't bullshit her.
Nope. She will look at you and smile and laugh. She will call you on it so quick.
So how has that been difficult for you then?
It's been hard because she's only 3.5. So it's hard to figure out how to communicate sort of that genuine emotion with her mm-hmm. when I'm frustrated or when I'm mad or when I'm sad. And she's sensitive to it when I'm trying to keep my cool, but she knows that I'm not, like, she knows that. So there's no, like, there's no faking her out. Mm-hmm. And then she knows how to play on that. So I've really had to work hard at, I can't just pretend the emotions. I have to, like, they have to be real, mm-hmm. Which makes it so much harder because they, like, she can tell if they're fake. If I'm really mad and I'm trying to just, you know, say the things that I'm supposed to be saying, but I don't mean them, mm-hmm. it doesn't work. So it's, you know, the biggest challenge ever, but at the same time, like, she's making me work at some, like, serious personal growth right alongside of figuring out how to teach her, show her, coach her.
Yeah. And that's the part that is so convicting about parenting, is that it's not just as simple as if you do X, Y, Z, here's the perfect formula for, you know, eliminating every tantrum and creating the perfect human being. Like, it just, it's so much deeper because it's so based on who you are as a parent and how you're showing up in those moments, how you're connecting through that relationship, how authentic you're being by living by example, the things that you're trying to teach. And that's so next level. And no parent shows up to having their baby with all of that prepared and ready to go. Like,
yeah.
And that's the point, is like, they get us to the place where we see ourselves in the mirror and we say, oh, lovely. I did not know that about myself, that I have that weakness, or that I am totally blind to this, or I'm a total hypocrite in this way. Like, mm-hmm. I did not know that. Thank you for teaching me that, child. I don't want to learn that lesson, but now I'm forced to. So I guess we're both growing up here. But if we have just that awareness is the first step of, like, even knowing that we have something to learn is huge, because in previous generations, like, there just really wasn't any overthinking it. There really wasn't any reflecting. It was just like, my job is to control you and I know what's best. You know nothing. Like, there just wasn't any head game in that space. And in some ways that's simpler, but we're learning through research, not actually what's best for creating healthy grownups that then have a really healthy sense of self and being really very well adjusted. So now we're rethinking that approach, but it's a lot harder to really understand what matters most, you know, to, especially in the early years when we're, like, literally forming their brain. No big deal.
Yeah. No pressure.
No pressure. Yeah. Have you felt that pressure of knowing, like, the way I talk to her is, like, the way that she's going to talk to herself, and the way that I handle things is how she's going to, like, learn how to deal. Like, does that feel like a lot to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think with me, like, having gone through all of my issues with, like, unrealistic expectations of myself and people around me, and that being, like, probably the, like, core root of what gets really hard and depressing for me is when those expectations aren't met. Mm-hmm. And navigating how to, like, manage that, deal with that, work through that. Like, I see so much of myself in her that it's so scary to me that I want to make sure that, like, I instill these tools for her early. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, trying to figure out how do you relate these really complex concepts and give her these tools to, like, a 3.5-year-old. Right. But also giving her credit that, like, I also know that she knows, because, like, she's very transparent and very authentic, which is what we're hoping for.
Right.
But it's sort of a double-edged sword. Because
Yeah, it really is a double-edged sword. When the goal is to teach a child how to be fully themselves enough that they don't constantly worry about what other people think of them and become complete people pleasers and have no identity outside of how they provide value for other people. If that's our goal, and that's how they're living now as 3-year-olds, they're very hard to parent.
Yeah, real hard to parent. Because too, like I feel like for the most part, like the world and the person in the back of my head, which was raised very differently than the way that I'm trying to do it, is constantly like, oh my gosh, you are letting her do this. Like she's a brat. Like she's not listening. She's not, you know, she's not complying. And then I kind of think back to like that person that was forced into compliance and to fit this mold and to be this way was what like bubbled up and brought up so many things to the surface at, you know, my young 20s and early 30s.
Yep.
You know, and the whole goal is for her to not have to go through that. Like, I want her to be comfortable with who she is and feeling maybe she acts different about different things. Maybe she reacts different than other people about different things. And that's who she is. And obviously with some realistic boundaries, but in a sense, like some real ownership over like, this is me and I'm good with it. And the right people will surround me who love and appreciate and want to be a part of me.
But there is definitely that self-talk back and forth of like, is this the right thing or am I totally screwing them up? Or is this right? Or am I way off? And my husband and I will have that back and forth too, because he's like, well, the story I'm telling myself about this behavior is that like they are completely self-absorbed and will never be able to connect with anyone else and see outside themselves. And like, this is like the train that's running off the tracks with this idea when I see this behavior happening with our, you know, 6-year-old. And then if we're able to have a conversation to reconcile that of like, well, but what if, or like, also remember, or like, you know, you have to just have that back and forth, because otherwise, yeah, you can go to a real dark place pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, and I think even like a couple weeks ago for me, I just really got in my head about like, am I doing this right? Because my husband and I have like, I think the same core values, but the way we get there is slightly different. Mm-hmm. And he is the opposite of me, which is why we work so well, because we complemented each other well, and he's very patient with her and has really loose boundaries, but no, you know, wants to give her the leeway to work it out herself and get where she needs to with however much time she needs. And I'm a little more restrictive and a little more constrained and have probably more narrow boundaries for things. And that's a battle that goes kind of back and forth with the two of us talking about how to handle things is like, you know, he just has a different perspective on, I think she needs to come around things this way. And he comes from his upbringing and I come from mine, and trying to merge those two things. And, you know, then there's that layer of like trying to work out and analyze it from that angle too.
Yes.
You know, but then on the other side of things, like I have my, you know, in my therapy and in the work I've done there, I get caught up in like paralysis by analysis, you know, like I keep thinking about it and analyzing it. And then it brings it back to, you just have to do the best you can with the tools you have and trust that like this one decision about how to handle breakfast this morning isn't going to impact her lifelong. There's a way to recover from it if it wasn't a good way to handle it, and if it was, then there's a way to repeat it.
Yeah, you know? That's a lot but of peace think, of mind right there if you can remember that.
Yeah, it's taking the time afterwards to like give yourself the grace to think about it from that way and not get caught up in the moment of like, this was the worst morning ever. Oh my gosh, what if this keeps repeating itself? What are we going to do?
Yes. Yes, because that panic can take over for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think the only way you're able to give that grace in the moment and, you know, not pick every battle as like the one to die on is knowing that you have some of the big picture stuff in place, like that you have kind of a goal of working towards and that you have a really good understanding of like what you're really trying to do in the long run so that you see it as a marathon rather than, you know, like this is my do or die. So yeah, how have you found that?
Yeah, well, we did a lot of work with you with our coaching, you know, the time that Jamie and I have taken and set aside to like really hone in on what our values that we hold as like core to our family and that are what are the most important things to make sure that we instill in these tiny humans that are only ours to mold and meld for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. I think the work that we've done on figuring out what those are and making sure that we're on the same page about those things allows us to give each other some grace in the delivery. Mm. And being able to remind ourselves that like, it's okay to do things different as long as like, these are the center spokes and like, these are the foundational things. If you're doing if your delivery is with these things in mind, then it's okay to like do it a little different.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like every family has to navigate that dynamic in one way, shape or form, because we all show up to parenting with two different upbringings, two different ways of seeing the world, two different ways of interpreting our kids' behavior. And we're both just winging it for the most part. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that creates a huge opportunity for disconnect and misunderstandings and not functioning as a team or having each other's back. And I know when we first started working together, one of your biggest concerns was trying to help your husband connect more with some of those day-to-day routines and not having all of that on you because you guys were doing approaching things so differently. So what led you to seek out coaching in the first place?
I was trying to remember back when, I mean, Nola was really young. I think it was just me, like seeking an expert in the field. Like I know my specialty in medicine is older adults and chronic serious illness and death and dying. And so raising children is kind of on the opposite end of that spectrum. And so like, I knew that I would need, I mean, I've always felt like, you know, if I don't have the time to do the research and I was like trying to fit it all in and do all the things, that seeking someone out who had that level of expertise and experience to support us would be the most efficient avenue for both our time and resources to getting the help that we needed before it became an issue. So I think about like, you know, like I have a therapist that kind of helps me sort through my own life things and the work that I do there ebbs and flows depending on how rocky the waters are. But then, you know, I had a doula to help me with my birth because I knew that like time-wise, I didn't have time to go to like a bunch of birthing classes and I wanted something super personal and someone to get to know me. And, yeah. And so it felt like to me, I think we came to, a class and then just felt like super like that connection of like, this is what we need. Like, this is right. Like, this is the support that we need to feel like we are doing the best we can. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any fears making that decision? Because I know parent coaching is like a whole new field.
Yeah. It's funny because I remember the first night that you came and talked to us and my mom was here and she was going to help put Nola to bed. And then she was downstairs and we were talking and we talked a lot about like our upbringings and like it felt pretty vulnerable to be talking about like where I felt like I wanted to do things differently, you know, but then have had conversations with my mom about it like since then. And she's like, you know, I'm not embarrassed by that you want to try to do it differently. She's like, I did the best I could with what I had and the situation we were in the moment. And I mean, by all means, my upbringing was great. And like, they truly did the best they could with the upbringings they had. And And her kind of giving me that was impactful in a way that like has allowed me to give myself a little bit more grace on the pressure I put on myself about motherhood and doing it right and the best and all that, because she did the same thing and was able to kind of come back around and tell me like, I did the best I could and you turned out great. And even though she sees that I want to do it differently, it's not offensive.
Mm. Yeah. That's powerful. That's a really solid place to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. So what aspects of coaching helped the most, or what do you feel like it made a difference in?
I mean, I think talking about having the toolkits, so phrasing, wording, and I think really like just having that expert person that knows sort of like child development, what's age appropriate, are my expectations unrealistic? Mm-hmm. Because for me, it's always been a theme that like I expect a lot of the people around me and extra from the people that are extra close to me. And so having someone help kind of set a little bit better perspective on like, well, you can't expect a 3-year-old to sit at the table for half an hour at a restaurant and not want to fuss about getting up or moving. Uh-huh. And if that's your expectation, you probably shouldn't do that. So,
but if you don't know that that's not a thing to do, that will
like,
be miserable.
And honestly, like my husband and I both didn't, I mean, that was just a small example of like mm-hmm. one of the things that was really honestly seemed so small, but was super impactful for us was like, we can't expect this, like, you know, and we can't feel that pressure. I mean, if we're going to feel that pressure from those around of us about our kids getting, you know, being all over the place, then we shouldn't be going. And obviously now that's all changed, but, I don't know. I think like what we sought out most in coaching and have found most helpful is just having that teammate that's not in the thick of it with us, being able to kind of look in on that 30,000 foot view, giving you some hope, giving you some encouragement, and then also helping us lay that foundation of like the core values work and the family mission statement work. All that has been super helpful for the rough times.
Mm-hmm. Because it still is a roller coaster.
Yeah. And I can't imagine not having that background or having done that work and like going through the like thickness of where we are right now with strong-willed 3.5-year-old and, mm-hmm. and now like an 18, almost 18-month-old that's starting to like have his own opinion about things. And, you know, he's super sweet and super chill, but he's starting to express himself more and more. And so like navigating that, but I mean, when we're in the thick of things, like we do kind of fall back on the work that we've done and mm-hmm. are so thankful. And I just can't imagine not having done it and what it would be like to go through this without someone by our side when we need them.
Yeah. That's exactly the kind of peace of mind that I hope to be able to give families, because it is such a crazy dynamic of not knowing what to do and overthinking, second guessing things. And just even to have any type of a plan to go back to that says like, okay, here's the main thing. So we got to keep the main things. And here's the way that, you know, is best to handle this. And here's a way that we can go back to these things to make sure that we're on the same page. I think that's when you're in the thick of the thick in these like super influential years, I think like you can just be all over the place if you don't have any anchors.
Yeah. Yep. And I think it's like, yep, making sure those anchors are in place and finding them and figuring out what they are. Mm-hmm. But it's so hard to do when you're in the thick of it, because finding the space to do that work is hard.
Yes.
But so worth it.
Yeah. So have you had to like carve out the opportunities to meet together?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I remember, you know, like when we were meeting pretty regularly and it would always be like, a struggle to get both of Jamie and I's like calendars on the same page where we had mm-hmm. like an hour or two where we could sit and visit, because like I would much rather just sit and like visit about other stuff, you know, that'd be easy,
watch Netflix,
but like,
sorry.
not think about parenting and all the hard things for like 2 hours.
Right.
But like, I always go back to like, after we took the time to do that, and we, a lot of times we would sit out by the fire pit, or, you know, we both felt so good about having conversations about things that were important to us and things that were important to raising our kids, and like being able to have the space to like have a thoughtful dialogue about why those things were important to us and, you know, or why it wasn't important to me versus him. And having laid that groundwork as sort of a roadmap, I feel more confident that things will be okay, mm-hmm. even if they fall apart, fly off the handle, go crazy in the morning over breakfast.
Yes. Because with a strong-willed little sparkler, like we call Nola, that's still bound to happen, because, you know, the goal is not just complete control and compliance and obedience. It's not. And so knowing what to shift your focus on instead helps you to not feel like you're just completely lost and spinning, focusing on, but I, you know, I still can't get her to do exactly what I needed to do at the exact time and all of that. Because if you're focused on that control aspect, you're always going to be miserable. We can't control other people.
Well, and I think it's like those ruts in my mind. So like the pathways in my brain that run so deep are those of like mm-hmm. control and compliance and mm-hmm. perfectionism and expectations and, you know, living up to people's what it's supposed to be. Those run so deep. So then when things get hard and I don't have the capacity to like work through it, think about it, work at it, they fall into those ruts real quick and real easily, where like I find myself expecting that, you know, the compliance, the, you know, she just needs to do what I say. And because it's not perfect all the time, but I have the tools and have sort of that toolkit of strategies and the background conversation that's been had to remind me that those ruts are deep, but I'm trying to do it different.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's so powerful, because it's just like that just that investment in that headspace is priceless, because you're laying that groundwork of like not having regrets later for not having done that work, and just having made it up as you went and look back and wish things were so different, you know, like, and we want the same for our marriage too. If we want to have a healthy, strong marriage, we have to pour into it. We have to have the conversations. We have to do the connecting things. We have to know that there's going to be hard times and there's going to be a fragile ground, and have laid the foundation to make it through those moments, not just hoping that they're never going to be there, because marriage is hard. It's just, just as hard as parenting. And, you know, my marriage has been on the brink before. I want marriages to never get to a place of completely crumbling based on parenting alone, because that
and
alone
I
can
see. Yeah. And I can see like being in the thick of it, like right now, how that can happen so easily.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, because you're two people coming from two different frameworks and obviously have different ways to approach things. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I can see how it happens regularly for people that like that starts to eat away at things, and without like the tools and the time and the effort spent on figuring out where your common ground is, mm-hmm. It would be hard to survive this phase.
I mean, to be frank, because there is so much against us. There's so many reasons that it's hard. There's so many things that are undermining us. If we feel like our partner is undermining us and not on our team and not having the same conversations, and we don't aren't able to give them the grace that they are doing their best also, and that they want success for our kids also, then that's just another thing that's making it worse. And I think we always, you know, like you said, it's hard to carve out the time. It's hard to get in that headspace and the thick of it, and to just feel like if you are in survival mode and you're just trying to keep your head above water, it's very hard to think about taking on another thing, another commitment, another, you know, thing that costs time and money. But when you zoom out to that 30,000 foot view and you see the whole span of what you're trying to do in motherhood and in your marriage, then you really can't help but not.
Yeah. And making that investment makes those highs and lows, and mostly the lows, so much more bearable, tolerable, recoverable, because you have that background of support, of the, you know, the tools, the person, the conversations that have been had. Mm-hmm. Like, you can fall back on that when you had like a really rough morning where you're both not on the same page and you argue about how you handled it.
Yeah. And your brain starts jumping to conclusions about how terrible everything's going to be.
Yeah. But then like when you can take a minute and sit on it, like then you're like, okay, I know we're both coming from the same place. Like we agreed on these things as our values, and these are our drivers, our why. Yeah, just so thankful that we have invested and taken the time and the resources to do that. I can't even put into words how valuable that is.
Oh, I love hearing that. Not just to toot my own horn, but to say, like, that's exactly the goal. And that just is why I'm here. It's why I offer that service. I feel like every family needs that level of support to just be able to have someone to back you up and to relay that, you know, non-biased view back to you and remind you of the things when it does get really hard. Because, you know, we worked together for a while, and then, you know, we've kind of just gone touch and go from there because kids keep changing. So we need to touch in and say, like, okay, now what, when we're at this stage and we have
I think for a while there, like, I reached out to you at one point. I was like, hey, we got this, we are doing so good, we are doing so awesome. And then 3 hit and I was like, well, hey, we're not doing so awesome anymore. Mayday, we need an emergency call here.
Yes, which we hopped on the next day, and I think it was helpful, right?
Yes, super helpful.
Yes.
More tools in the toolkit.
Exactly. Yes. So what would you say to a mom that resonates with being where you're at, feeling all the things, having a hard kid, feeling like you don't want to have your kids have the same insecurities and, you know, anxieties that you have, and you're trying your darndest, and like, but they're just like, either my husband won't get on board, or I don't want, you know, I don't have the time. Like, what would you say to a mom that's trying to like kind of blow that off?
Yeah. I think investing in your time, your energy, your thoughts in this kind of support will repay you tenfold in effort, energy, time, on what it will save you once you've done the work and invested in it. For me, it's by just saving you like the mental anguish of working through all of it by yourself. Mm. You can do the reading, you can read books. Trust me, I read books, I read blogs, I read posts. But having someone who knows you and knows your dynamic and your family's dynamic, and then can apply all that knowledge that they've already done, all the reading and the knowing and the schooling and all that, it's efficient, it's effective, so helpful, worth it.
Yay. Yeah, that mental anguish. Who wants more of that?
Yeah. No one. It's hard enough. There's enough of that.
Exactly. Yes. And I think that's always the thing we don't think about is we just try to be, you know, short term and right now I need to save money or right now I need to, you know, make this decision based on these factors. But we don't think about casting that vision into the future and saying, well, what happens if I don't? What happens if I let this go and the current trajectory continues for?
Yeah, I think you think about like the ripple effect in either direction. Yeah. You know, the ripple effect, if you don't do it, how much harder it will be. And then the ripple effect in the positive of like you invest in all reality. I don't know. I mean, I feel like the amount of time we've invested total versus how much time I've spent thinking and dwelling and worrying about parenting, the ripple effect forward has been huge. And how impactful it is in other facets of my life as well. You know, giving coworkers grace, giving siblings grace, you know, working through managing different personality types in all different kinds of encounters.
Yeah.
It's applicable to lots of facets of life.
Hey, friends. Has surviving this pandemic made you feel like an imposter while you drink your lukewarm coffee out of that world's best mom mug? Your parenting skills have been pushed to the max in this pandemic, and you're worried that you're getting it wrong. Survival mode is pushing you to threaten and bribe and yell and then beat yourself up for it. I get it. It was just a few years ago and my marriage was on the brink of collapse while I worked to survive the never-ending power struggles with my strong-willed toddler. What was supposed to be my dream was becoming a nightmare of tantrums, stress, and yelling about shoes. I didn't like who I was becoming and I knew how influential these early years were. Yet every night at bedtime, I felt guilty and hopeless. I even had a degree in early childhood education and a teaching certification, so talk about feeling like an imposter. If this is you right now, here's what is on my heart to tell you. Your desire for connected relationships is exactly the reason why you are a good mom. Your dream of enjoying your child is not dashed even in a pandemic. There is hope for your marriage, for your toddler, for your sanity. As a positive parenting coach, I'm committed to helping you overcome the overwhelm so that you can establish a foundation for a happy home life, feel like a team, and be able to get out the door without an epic meltdown. Theirs or yours. And there's nothing that lights me up more than celebrating my client wins, going from fearing divorce to feeling like a team, breakthroughs in approaches and light bulb moments regarding their expectations, eliminating aggression and straight up defiance, and feeling like they're proud of their parenting. This is all available for you too, and so much more. I'm so excited. I'm opening up the doors for my private one-on-one Sanity and Solutions system this month for families who are ready to stop winging it and feel empowered and prepared. My availability is quite limited, so I only have space to take on 5 new families. Honestly, you and your kids deserve this. You deserve to feel in control of your world when the rest of the world is falling apart. You deserve to feel like the go-to mom others come to for advice. You deserve to take charge of your mental health while you're wiring your child's. You deserve to invest in preventative measures so your family's story doesn't include a custody battle. Are you ready to change the trajectory of your family's future? If you know investing in your parenting will ensure your child's long-term success, I would love to chat with you. You're invited to apply for a complimentary Sanity and Solutions call. Go to parentingwholeheartedly.com/coaching for more details. But then click the link in the show notes to find the application. My time is limited and my spots are limited, and I'm really looking for the families that are ready to admit what they're doing isn't working. They're not afraid of personal and self-development, and they know their influence, and they are ready to take charge of the things that they can control. If that's you, click the link in the show notes and let's do this. I can't wait to work with you. Yeah, because it is so interconnected. I mean, parenting is just not like a compartmentalized aspect of our life that we turn on and off.
Yeah, no, nope. pours over to all the categories.
All the categories, yes. Unfortunately, because, yeah, when we do make growth in that area, it does translate. And it's totally tenfold when we see those results of being more proud of who we are as a mom and being proud of how we're showing up in a moment while we're parenting. Like, that can set the trajectory of our whole day. And really, that's what our kids are taking away. Like, with your daughter with that vibe, if she's feeding off your vibe, the more that you can focus on your vibe, the more that that's going to overflow to her. You know, like, all of the self-care you pour into yourself, all the growth you pour into yourself, that is really what's making up her childhood more than, you know, micromanaging, should she be in this sport? Does she need a tutor? Yeah. You know, like, all of those things. It's the influence is us. And when we fully realize that it's us, like, that's it. There's nobody else. We're the ones defining their futures. Then yeah, you are okay with asking for help with that, because it's a big deal. It's a lot of pressure. And when you care so much about how it turns out, then that makes logical sense.
Yeah. And wanting her to know that it's okay to be vulnerable enough to say, like, I need an expert. I need someone to help me with this. Yeah. And that's okay to ask for help. And that's, like, a big, like, lesson that we're working on with her right now. And I'm working on with myself, you know, that it's okay to ask for help. Like, she's super independent, wants to do everything by herself, then gets really frustrated that she can't. And then it's a meltdown. And, like, trying to, you know, repeat the messaging over and over that it's okay to ask for help. But then I do a little self-reflection and I'm, like, thinking about all the areas that I'm drowning in my life. And I'm like, wait a second, mom, it's okay to ask for some help. It's okay to ask for some grace at work during a really tough period. You know, it's okay to ask for help from, you know, family when you need a little grace in the, like, I didn't get everyone the greatest Christmas presents because I was in a really not great spot, but I'm doing the best I can. And teaching her that and her teaching me that lesson over and over again while I'm working on teaching it to her, is super moving.
Yeah.
Super moving.
Yes. Oh, that's so good when we can turn those lessons around and be like, am I doing this?
Yeah.
I can't teach it if I'm not. Like, genuinely, I can say whatever I want to say, but it's not going to sink in if I'm not also living it out. And that's really where we grow. And so hard. But
That constant mirror.
Yes. And that's one thing that I've actually made the decision to do too, because I'm such a big advocate for, like, families asking for help, being vulnerable, taking on that I'm like, I need to do that too. So, like, I just got a coach for myself, a business coach, because, like, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't, if I'm struggling with, like, marketing and some other things that I'm not an expert in, why would I just choose to, like, keep struggling when I'm advocating for families to do the opposite? So that's been really good for me to just continue to live by example too, of saying, like, here's how I'm getting so much peace of mind by having a plan by somebody who has done all of the research in this other area that I have zero in, and being able to then just implement their things and not be Googling until 1 a.m.
Like, yeah. Like, all the effort, the energy, the research, the thought that goes into that when there is someone who is the expert in that wants to get to know you and what your needs are and be able to help you fill those efficiently, so that there's only so much of you that you can, like, pour into the different pots in your life. And you have to do research for work, and you have to do effort and energy stuff to maintaining your marriage. And then there's this whole giant piece that's parenting. And so,
there's only 24 hours still. And dinner has to be made, and there's messes everywhere. And it really is. If you're looking at efficiency, but the changes have to be made, because of what you're doing isn't working and not getting you the results that you want, or not being able to give you the peace of mind that makes you feel like you are showing up the best way you can, then consider asking for help.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
So I'll end my official commercial, but I do appreciate your perspective, because there's nothing like hearing from someone who's been there and who's going through it and who can help connect, you know, with that. But is there any other, not like you have to have all the wisdom, but if there's any other advice that you wish you would have heard sooner or something that always, you know, is helping you give yourself grace, advice that you just want another mom to hear?
I think it's just really trying to focus on presence, which seems daunting and simple all at the same time. Mm-hmm. But really like living in the moment with my kids, with myself, with my husband. I think that is right now in this season for me, trying to help quell the anxiety about all the things going on outside of my home.
Yeah.
And also like really help me connect with my kids is, you know, like setting the phone aside, setting the work aside, setting the dinner aside and sitting and playing with Play-Doh for 20 minutes and really finding joy in that. Mm. And that is what's getting me through the tough times of now, mm-hmm. is that presence. And so when everything seems to be falling apart, like just giving yourself the permission to just be present.
Yeah.
As much as possible.
Like you said, so simple, but so hard and getting increasingly worse. Like,
yeah. Just so many demands, so many things. Yeah. Just, yeah. It sounds so simple, but yet is so hard that it takes practice. And
yeah, which almost makes the importance of it so much more because it is so hard. And that is really what our kids are asking for. That when they get our true, authentic, connecting attention, even if it's just for 15 minutes, it pays off tenfold every time. And that's one of the first things I ask, you know, client families about is like, how much one-on-one face-to-face time are your kids getting that they can count on or really anticipate or look forward to? And like that alone will improve their behavior. So that's a really powerful one. Thank you for that. And I'm sure that all of us could improve. So the last question that I like to ask every guest is, how are you the mom that your kids need?
I'm the mom that my kids need because I'm theirs. I listen to them. I'm here for them. I love them unconditionally, even in their tantrums. And I'm doing the best I can. And I'm working harder at it than really anyone could expect.
Boom. Exactly. Yes. And then you need to go write that down and put it on your mirror. Yeah. Remember that.
Yeah.
They're from your own words, Sarah.
Yeah. Put that out. I'll have to replay this podcast for myself over and over again.
It will now be the soundtrack to your commutes is your own voice. That would be creepy. But I think that's something we absolutely need to be reminded of all the time. It's just those simple truths of like, we are their people, their whole world. And when we give them the love that they ask for, when we choose to sacrifice and connect in a way that we're working really hard at, then yeah, we're the one for the job. There's nobody else that will love them like us. And that's irreplaceable. It's priceless. Yes. And I know that your kids are so lucky to have a mom that works so dang hard like you do to know all the things and do all the things and show up as hard as you can. So just, they told me to tell you thank you. And that it's worth it. And they just so appreciate the conversations about them because they know how much it matters to them and to your family. And I know you will not regret any of those conversations or any of that work. So thank you for choosing to come on and be vulnerable. Yes. And you made it.
I did it.
No, I know this is exactly what every mom needs to hear. So Thank you for being the one to share it and to say the things. But yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for all your support.
Has Sarah convinced you yet? This work is powerful. Seriously though, if you're feeling like there's even a glimmer of hope that hopping on a call with me could offer one helpful next step for your family, why would you hold yourself and your kids back from that chance? Click the link in the show notes or in my Instagram bio. Sanity, solutions, getting on the same page, having securely attached relationships, and support. It's all here for the taking when you choose to invest in yourself. The 30-minute sessions are only for a limited time. If the link is still active, snag a time slot. Next episode will be a short Why You're Failing episode, so check back and don't miss it. Oh, and I haven't asked in a while. Leave a review for Failing Motherhood. Okay, thank you. Thanks for coming on this journey with me. I believe in you, and I'm cheering you on.